Today's episode of Rob Has a Podcast is sponsored by Casper. Today, we are going to be putting together the Survivor Third Time's a Charm cast of your dreams, and you'll be having plenty of amazing dreams when you make the switch and get yourself a Casper mattress. I've got one here at my house. Nicole and I, we both love it because Casper has two technologies in one. They've got the latex foam and the memory foam all together for a better night's sleep and brighter days, because I don't get very much sleep right now, but when I do, I want to make the most of it. And that's why I'm so happy that we've got a Casper mattress. It's an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. They've got a risk-free trial and a return policy. You could try sleeping on a Casper mattress for 100 days, and with free delivery and painless returns, you'll be so happy that you did. It comes to you in a great big box. You open it up, and it's right there, and you'll be amazed at the Casper mattress. It's made in America, and it is fantastically priced, just $500 for a twin-size mattress, $950 for the king. Compare that to industry averages, and that's an outstanding price point. So go ahead and get $50 off your Casper mattress order when you use our promo code ROB. Go to casper.com/ROB. You'll get $50 off any mattress purchase with that link, casper.com/ROB. Terms and conditions apply. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino, and we got a fun one here today. It's our Survivor Third Time's the Charm casting special, where myself and the great Gordon Holmes from Xfinity TV will be joining me to discuss our ideal cast of Survivor Third Time's a Charm. This will be completely fictitious, but we will be taking the 54 different people that have played Survivor two times and lost and putting them in the mix for Survivor Third Time's a Charm. We'll be coming up with our perfect cast for that season, and that's going to be a lot of fun. We've had some other fun shows on the podcast this week, including something that I feel like a lot of people enjoyed. We did a roundtable of people that were on game shows from the RHAP community. We talked to Scott Green, Jessica Leese, and Brent Wolgamott, who were on, Jess was on Jeopardy and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Scott was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and Brent was on The Price is Right. So that's a fun podcast if you haven't heard that one on robhasawebsite.com. And of course, we do our News AF every week with Tyson Apostle and Danny Bryson every Monday on Rob Has a Podcast. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring this person back to the podcast. And I think it's been actually way too long since we've had him on and we've done something like this, because the past couple of Januaries, we have gotten together back in January of 2014. We cast the All-Star B&B. Back in January of 2015, we cast the All-Star No Collar, White Collar, and Blue Collar Tribes. And now, here with me once again to cast an All-Star season of Survivor in January, it's the great Gordon Holmes from Xfinity TV.
Too long, Robert. Far too long.
Of an intro or to since you've been on?
Since I've been on. And the intro might have gone a little long, but anytime you're going to use the word great before my name, I'm going to be all for it.
Yes. Gordon, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Since we last spoke, I got married. I'm now a married man with a ring on my finger.
Congratulations. And,
thank you. Thank you. It is different. I kind of had in my brain that marriage would be just like, you know, super dating. Like this is like your person you date forever, but it's different.
Nope,
like
it's not the same.
It is not the same.
It is not the same.
And I'll go so far to say it's better. It's better.
Oh,
it's
what an upset.
I'm not just saying this because she'll probably listen to it. But yeah, it's like, this is your partner. This is like half of you. Like that never, I guess it just didn't click with me that like how powerful like the whole thing is. So yeah, it's been really cool.
Look at you.
Yeah.
On cloud nine.
Yes, indeed. She doesn't watch Survivor though, which.
Oh, well, nobody's perfect.
I was out in Cambodia for Second Chance.
Yes.
And it was talking to Probst about it. And, you know, he was talking about, we were talking about, you know, love and life.
Making big moves.
And I basically made the same joke. I'm like, you know, she's not perfect though. She doesn't watch Survivor. And yeah, he's like, well, neither does my wife. So. Mm-hmm. I figure if his wife doesn't, then it's okay if mine doesn't.
Yeah, it's fine. Sometimes that's even better that you don't have your spouse, you know, completely having the same interest that you have. It's fine.
Right. She does, however, wear a Survivor Caramoan buff to Zumba.
Oh, okay. Is it a conversation starter?
Kind of. I think she thought it was sporty and thought it'd be cool.
Yeah.
It's her way of showing support.
Yeah. And Gordon, I had to have you on here. I was getting too jealous of Josh Wiggler, who got to spend so much time with you in Cambodia.
You mean Josh Wiggler of the Lifetime Immunity Challenge record of 2-1?
2-1? Oh, yeah. He won two and lost one?
He won two and lost one. I wasn't with him the one he lost, so I can't be held responsible for that. But he did a great job out there. Like, it was fun. It was like seeing it through like new eyes. It was so cool. And like just him being out there and like the challenges and being like, I could do this. And I'm like, yes, you can.
Yeah.
You're one of us.
Are you riding high coming off of a Royal Rumble this weekend?
I am. I don't know how closely you follow the world of wrestling, but there's a gentleman who wrestles under the name of AJ Styles, who's been outside of the WWE for quite some time. And they finally brought him on board. I'm just a huge fan of his. So I was very excited. And he showed up at the Rumble and I was very happy.
I saw that fellow podcaster Chris Jericho made an appearance.
He did. He's getting up there. He might want to consider sticking behind that podcast mic.
Yeah. Doing what we do best. And an appropriate metaphor and analogy here as we talk about whether or not people should come out from behind the podcast mic to go back to what they first started doing as we discuss casting Third Time's a Charm. And in this podcast today, much like Gordon and I have done the last two Januaries, we are going to go through the Survivor roster and come up with the all-star season of Survivor. Now, the difference is the last two Januaries, we were talking about the season which was coming up. And of course, back 2 years ago, we did the all-star Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn, which I will link to in the show notes if you want to go back and listen to that podcast. But wouldn't be as fun to do Brains versus Brawn versus Beauty again. So I figured, why not get into Third Time's the Charm, Gordon?
I love it.
You love it.
However, there has been a bit of a debate. Do we go with Third Time's a Charm or Survivor Second Chances?
Survivor Second Chances. I like that too. But either way, we're talking about people who are in the running for their third time to be on the show, but have not won. Are we in agreement on that?
Yeah, I think the whole point of Third Time's a Charm is you have failed those first two times, and this is the time you're going to come through. So if we're doing Third Time's a Charm, it's got to be no winners.
Okay, so no winners, and we have a list here. There are 54 players who have played Survivor two times and lost both times.
Isn't that amazing?
A lot of people, right?
That blew my mind when I was looking at this list.
So there really are a lot of people out there who have played Survivor twice and lost. And not just myself, but I have plenty of company in this exercise.
Now, just so we can get the rules down before we get started, someone like Rupert, who it would be their third chance, not eligible. Correct?
No. Okay.
All right.
Because for Rupert, he would be eligible for, you know, fourth time's the charm.
That's what I'm saying. It's his third chance, if you want to put it under that. But
no, that's too confusing.
It's a gray area.
Are you interested, just for the sake of posterity, in the cast of the all-star Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn that we came up with 2 years ago?
Do you have it handy?
Yeah, I have it open.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay. Here's what we came up with. The all-star bronze tribe was Stephanie LaGrossa, Crystal Cox, and R.C. St. Amour.
All right.
Then the men were James, Brad Culpepper, did not remember that, and Shannon Elkins. Wow, what?
There was that big controversy that Brad Culpepper had everybody from our make-believe cast down to his house to talk pretend strategy. It was a big controversy.
Okay. Yeah, I think we came up with that was like a really like wacky Brawn tribe in that season. Then we had our all-star beauty tribe, which was Jenna Maraska, Chelsea Meisner, and Angie Layton.
Yeah. Those are some beauties.
Eddie Fox, Fabio, and Pete Yerkowski. Wow.
That was my Powerball plan, was I was going to do Eddie Fox's dog bar.
And then the Brains tribe. Oh, we correctly predicted the return of Stephen Fishback, the Survivor, Yul Kwan, and Yao Man. And then we also had Sophie, Ceri, and then the ultra controversial one in Sierra.
Yes, Sierra Easton, who also came back.
Yes, she also came back. So Sierra and Stephen Fishback. And for those of you guys who don't recall, there was a bit of a kerfuffle on social media over Sierra's inclusion, which came at the expense of Eliza being added to the list. That was sort of the backdrop coming out of this podcast. It's not controversial to have. We didn't think it was controversial to have Sierra on the Brains Tribe.
Right. So I'm sorry, we cast Sierra and someone had issue with it?
Yes. Yes. Eliza was not thrilled because we bumped Eliza out of the Brains Tribe.
Well, it's good to see that the second chance vote proved us correct.
Yes. I'm sure if Eliza was up for it, she would have made it. But Gordon, so today we have this big list in front of us, 54 people. And so we're going to cast this all third time's the charm season. The way I thought this should work is much like in the previous years where we present somebody and then we sort of discuss whether or not they're going to be on the list. Since these all-star seasons of like a third time's a charm, I feel like it would be two tribes of 10. So let's come up with the list of 20 people, 10 men and 10 women. And as we sort of make our case, I think we should each allow ourselves a veto where if I really like am saying, hey, I think this person really needs to be on there. And you are saying, no, absolutely not. I have to use my veto. You can blow up any one person that I'm saying I should be there. And you can blow up any one person that I'm saying are going to be there. And then the rest, we have to just sort of deliberate to figure out what we're doing.
Sounds good.
All right. So do you want to discuss the tribe of men first or the tribe of women first?
Let's go with the guys first.
Okay. All right. So the guys that we're going to be discussing, 25 men that have not been a winner after playing two times. And let me just give you the list. Let me give the rundown for the people that are playing at home. Here is the list. It is in no particular order. Rob Cesternino.
Hey!
Spencer Bledsoe. Stephen Fishback. Eric Reichenbach. Malcolm. Keith Nail. Jervis. Big Tom. Lex. Yao Man. Philip Shepard. Joey Amazing. Wu. Mike Scoopin. Terry Dietz. Bobby John. Andrew Savage. Brandon Hance. Johnny Fairplay. Vetus, Rudy, Randy Bailey, Jeff Varner, Colton, Russell Swan. That is our list. Okay, so now we have this 25-person list. I think we should establish some criteria where I feel like, can we make a person come back if they don't want to?
That's a good question. I'm thinking of your Stevens, your Spencers, your Shireens. They're hot off like a probably an emotional season and might not want to come back at all. In the past, I feel like we've kind of rooted these in reality. Like if we're like Rudy Bosch, of course, we would love to see him there if, you know, his health would allow it. But it doesn't seem realistic. So I feel like we should take somewhat into account.
Right. I think we've always played by that rule of that we're going to sort of like work in reality. I think even last time we were sort of like holding some people back for a bigger all-star season as opposed to like, we don't want to waste people on the all-star, no collar, white collar, blue collar.
Some people don't need the shine. But since it's such a limited amount, I feel like we need to go all out.
Okay. I also think that we should institute some sort of a rule where we do not have too many people from any one season. Now, I don't know how much we can work around that,
but
I feel like we should try to, if possible, cast no more than 5 or 6 of the second chancers. Like, I don't want to just redo Survivor's Second Chance.
Right. Yeah, it's tough, obviously, because, you know, if they played twice, they've played on a season with returnees, but we'll keep an eye on it.
And we'll allow it more if maybe, like, we don't want to have like 5 men that are second chancers all at one tribe. Like, if it's like a little more spread out between the two tribes, I feel like I'll be a little more amenable to that.
Okay.
Not lamenable, more to that.
I love the rules we make for our make-believe Survivor.
We're not fooling around. This is serious.
This is serious business.
I read the comments. People take this serious. We have to too, Gordon.
As do I, Robert.
Yes. Okay. All right. So we'll let you begin this conversation. Okay, who's the first person? And I think we should try to, in some particular order, just throw people out there for discussion. So you could throw out the first man for this list.
I will throw out the first man. Okay, so I'm looking at this list, and the thing that struck me about it, the male side, there don't seem to be a lot of, for lack of a better term, young studs. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, your Ozzy back in the day, things along those lines. And basically, it was Malcolm, Joe, and Wu. And you can make arguments for, but I'm talking about like your real specimens. So first and foremost, right out of the bat, we got to make sure at least one of these guys makes it.
Yeah.
And I'm going with Malcolm Freebird.
Malcolm. Boom. I think Malcolm is up for it. I think that enough time has passed. I think that Malcolm is a fan favorite. And I love that Malcolm potentially coming back for the third time here. I think that's really a no-brainer. And I don't even know how much discussion there is that we need to have for this. I think we need Malcolm for Third Time's a Charm.
Yeah, Malcolm, he went coast to coast between Philippines and Karamoan. So nice to give him a couple of years to, you know, rebuild muscle mass instead of, you know, starving himself for, you know, 50 some days. So yes, Malcolm, bring him back.
And to me, I feel like the other bookend of this, the guy that we have to have is, let's put Joey Amazing out there also, because I love this story of Malcolm versus Joey Amazing. Will they work together? Will they be rivals? Will they butt heads? I think that that is a fascinating backdrop of Survivor Third Time's a Charm.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people look at them and they it's the same guy, and it they really aren't. Malcolm, you know, I feel like has a stronger social game. Joe, I feel, has a stronger challenge game. Like it should be interesting. And again, like, we need, like, these are our two best bets for getting like young, really athletic guys out there. So, and when I first started looking at this, I was like, you know, Joe is just here. Joe will have his day. Give Joe a break. But looking at this list, I think Joe's got to be there.
Joe's got to be there. And I feel like you could have them on the opposite tribes and you'd sort of have like, oh, the Malcolm tribe versus the Joe tribe. And I think that it would be a very fun way to set up the Third Time's a Charm. So I'm all in on Malcolm versus Joe here with these two tribes.
It should be Third Time's a Charming. That's terrible. I'm sorry about that.
That's the front runner for the hashtag right now.
Oh, great.
Okay. Third Time is Charming. So that was sort of easy, Malcolm and Joe. All right. It's only going to get harder from here.
All right. You want to know who I got next?
You go next. Go.
All right. So this one also seems like a no-brainer to me. Having had to leave Survivor's Second Chance due to a family emergency, if Terry Dietz is up to returning, I think we should have him back.
I love it. Okay. Let's have Terry Dietz back. And I almost feel like, I'm seeing the tribes also. I think you got to put Terry Dietz on the Malcolm tribe also, because you don't, I feel like him and Joe had something going. And I feel like that's too much of an alliance to start. But I think that, would Malcolm work with Terry?
Yeah, that's something I think. Well, I mean, you know, Malcolm knows his old school Survivor. He probably already has an opinion of Terry. Yeah. Terry probably thinks highly of Malcolm just because Malcolm, you know, he's the kind of guy that Terry seems to like. But yeah, I guess it would be up to Malcolm to see if he would he'd be willing to work with him.
Would Malcolm be laminable to working with Terry?
There's your hashtag. Laminable. Look at us all in agreeance.
Yeah, no, I love this. Okay, so let's bring Terry back. And Terry, I do feel like maybe from the edit, it looked like the writing was on the wall that Terry was going to be next, but he sort of is able to dodge that fate and has a more interesting to be continued to his Survivor career, which could be picked up here in Survivor Third Time's the Charm here on the Malcolm Trot.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's good. So we're moving right along here. So no disagreement whatsoever. I would also like to see a guy that I know really would love to come back, who did have some not great circumstances surrounding his second time out from the game and not really a great representation of what I think that he can do. I don't think I'm going to get much argument from you. Let's bring back Johnny Fairplay.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So I have are like my eight guys, right? And then I have question marks. And Fairplay, you know, a lot of people are going to come at you with Fairplay quit. Quitter shouldn't come back. Fairplay was voted out. Fairplay is one of those people that, I don't want to sling around the term iconic, but Fairplay is iconic.
A Survivor Hall of Famer.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And if you were to just say, like even someone who had never seen, you know, way back when he played in Pearl Islands, if you showed them the grandma clip, they're in. Mm-hmm. Like they get this guy and why he's back. So Fairplay, Third Time's a Charm.
Now, would Jeff allow it, do you think? I feel like that's the holdout here.
Yeah. There's been a lot of time. And I don't know what the fallout between those two is, with the fallout between them is. If it's just because he thought he quit, then I think Jeff's kind of softened on quitters over the years. I've been doing a rewatch of Kara Mowen. When Lindsay from that season, there's been like a dozen, she was worried she was going to punch someone out. He was like, you know what? You're good. Just pick up your copy of Survivor the Home Game on the way out. So I don't know, maybe Probst would be open to it.
I just think that it would be a lot of buzz for the season if he was going to come back. I think people would be excited to see it. I think enough time has passed, especially, you know, we are now 16 seasons away from when that initially happened. I think that there's, you know, some circumstances about the whole Bonaducci thing and getting powerbombed like 2 weeks before he had to play. Hopefully, you know, he has been serving, much like Pete Rose is sort of like, if they could reinstitute Pete Rose to baseball, maybe that's a bad example because it doesn't seem like they're going to reinstitute Pete Rose. But I feel like he served his penance now.
Yeah, time heals all wounds. Fair play is iconic. If they'd go for it, I could see them doing it. I'd be all for it.
So you're on board with that?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
All right. My turn. Okay, so looking at the list, both sides of it, there are two people that match this certain criteria out of all of them. One of them will not be brought back. The other is Michael Scoopin. And the instance I'm thinking of is people who have not been voted out of the game.
Ooh.
The other person is Colton Cumbie, who I highly doubt they would bring back or he'd even want to go back. But Scoopin, it always appeals to me, like, you know, when Wigglesworth was back, it was interesting when she got her torch snuffed. That never happened before. So Scoopin, you know, maybe he's not the strongest strategist. Maybe he's not the safest around camp. Maybe he can shatter goggles across his face. But he has never been voted out of Survivor. So he is my pick for the men's tribe of Third Time's a Charm.
I think that would be fun to have Mike Scoopin come back. I can see you've done your research here, Gordon. Mm-hmm. And I feel like after watching Survivor Philippines over the summer, I feel like then we're going to take Mike Scoopin. We're going to put him on the opposite tribe of Malcolm. Again, right. I feel like almost like with this second chance vote, I feel like that these tribes are sort of like shaping themselves. I feel like he is sort of the corollary to Terry Dietz.
Yes.
So let's put Mike Scoopin on the tribe with Joe. And I think that that's nice because, you know, Malcolm and Scoopin both coming out of the Philippines. Now they won't be able to work together with each other from the start. Maybe there's an axe to grind there between the two of them. I don't know how Malcolm feels about Scoopin or how Scoopin feels about Malcolm. But I think that there'd be Scoopin was fun to bring back on the Philippines. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in. I'm in on Scoopin.
Look at us getting along, agreeing.
Okay.
No vetoes yet?
No vetoes yet. Okay. So now for bringing back Scoopin, I would love to hear how this would complicate things, because what if we also brought back from that same Kucha tribe, Jeff Varner?
Wow. Jeff Varner was on my list. And just to jump into this real quick, you know, when we brought back a lot of the old timer, longer tenured players, they were all pretty decent players, like with the exception of Kelly Wigglesworth, who kind of fizzled. Kimmy came to play, Jeff came to play, Savage came to play, Dietz, like everybody brought something to the table. And Varner was someone, and I like bringing him back because he was only on for four episodes. So I like the idea that, you know, he's not like burnt out. He's not somebody that we've saw too much of. So, Varner all the way, but be careful if you're making a pregame alliance with him.
Well, speaking of that, so if you're going to bring Varner back, and I don't know if we should really factor this into whether we should cast people or not in terms of like, would they fit in with the people that we have? So on one hand, if you put Varner on the Malcolm tribe, there's Terry that he worked with very closely in Second Chances. But on the other side of things is Scoopin, who, while he did not work closely with necessarily in Australia, I feel like there's a pretty good friendship there.
Yeah. A friendship that goes back, you know, 15 years now.
So I feel like if you're going to have him out there, I think put him on the Terry side.
This is turning out really well.
Okay.
There's so many little backstories and side stories.
There's a lot here. There's a lot here. People like scoff at Third Time's a Charm.
No. The second chance season is going to be huge.
All right. So we've cast six men so far.
Yeah. And we have yet to No one's been vetoed. All right.
Well, the top of the lists are going to be easier, I think. I think really the intrigue is going to come when we get to the bottom of the list.
I truly found when I was going through my men's list that it was like, yes, yes, no, yes, 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 no. And then I was done. There weren't like a lot of maybes. Okay. Whereas the women, on the other hand, I felt there like I could have gone like 100 different ways.
All right.
So this is more of a palate cleansing, the men's side. But all right, we'll just get this one out of the way so you can use your veto. So this guy, I'm sure I've told this story before, but I was getting bored with Survivor. Just, you know, it was, you know, you had your alliance and then you, if you had the numbers, you won and hooray. And I was bored. And then this kid shows up in the Amazon and he's singing songs and he's got this magic eight ball and what a dork.
Daniel right? Liu?
Hold on. Let me check the names. No, that's not him. So this kid changes the game. This guy changes the way Survivor is played henceforth, comes back to Second Chance, was not a charm the second time around. I'm referring to, of course, Mr. Rob Cesternino.
Now, what makes you think the third time would be the charm?
Well, here's the thing is I feel like I'm trying to think of the best way to word this. So Steven, like he kind of came in and he knew there was kind of this target on his back due to the notoriety of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And he managed to work with it. And I think if Steven had done a thing or two differently, he could have gone further in the game. I thought considering what he's going in with, he did a good job.
Yeah.
This isn't meant to be a knock on Steven. I feel like are more easygoing, mm-hmm. In the sense that you would be able to downplay stuff like that. You're probably better with the jokes and things along those lines. And then we can finally put this knowingest.
Mm-hmm, knowingest. Yeah.
No, you know what I'm saying? We can finally put that to bed. So, you know, Rob, like I've said before, you changed the game. That wasn't BS when they're doing the whole smartest player never to win.
Yeah. I think that in terms of me and Steven, I think that for Steven, I do think that he's probably a bit more neurotic than I am. Not to say I am unneurotic, but I feel like that the heat that was on Steven, I feel like would be even hotter on me.
See, but I feel like Steven, it's almost like people saw him strictly as an intellectual.
Yeah.
Where more people would see you.
I'm more of a man of the people.
Yeah, precisely. An intellectual and an entertainer.
I went to a state college.
Right. So I could see people relating to you more. Yeah. So I feel like you might have a slightly easier time with it. And I know here's the thing. It's like, you know, Rob Cesternino with the podcast, you know, all the survivors. Well, you know what? Everybody knows all the survivors on these second and third chances. Like it's this big, huge community.
That's right.
And yeah, like you're like the hub of like a huge part of it. But I feel like you're clever enough and personable enough that you could work around that. It's not my job to teach you how to play Survivor, Rob, to teach you how to win. I have confidence.
How
you
do
can
I win
do
this? I only want to play again if I get a win.
I have confidence you can win, and the rest is up to you.
Yeah, I feel like for this exercise, I think it is the easiest to not include me for this list. Because one, then I'm going to get like, you know, backlash from all sides on this. This is like a no-win scenario, even more so than Third Time's a Charm. When all the other, you put yourself on there, but you didn't put me on there.
You didn't put you on. That rat bastard from Xfinity TV, Gordon Holmes, put you on.
I choose not to run. I feel like, how could I not podcast about this season? I do feel like it would be fun to go do it, but at this point in time, really, I think this is where I belong to be, Gordon.
But here's the thing: is you go on the finale, right?
Right.
And you say Rob has a podcast at Rob Cesternino on Twitter, and your numbers blow up,
and Jeff's head explodes. Sure,
this is a win-win for you, my friend. Even if you don't end up with a million, you will still end up. It will be good for the podcast. They let Steven do his blog.
Yes, that's true.
Insider info. Like, it was just like, what's the point of these exit interviews I'm doing every Thursday morning if Steven is already dishing everything on everybody?
Yeah.
Fishbach.
Look, you make a lot of good points, Gordon, but I feel like let's just table it.
Okay.
Let's put it aside for now. If we are desperate for me and we can't complete this cast without me, mm-hmm. then I will consider Chris Jericho-ing it.
Third Time's a Charm, desperate for Rob.
And then I become the new Francesca. I will be. Could I be the first survivor ever to do worse every time out?
Is that accurate?
Is that a thing? Has there been a third timer who just does worse every time they go out?
A third timer who's done worse. I'm sure someone in the comment section.
I'm sure somebody has. I guess you could say like, oh, Russell, because he got two votes in the first time and then he got no votes. Okay. He still did pretty good two times.
I have faith that you could do better than third place. I believe in you. I was explaining this to my wife the other day because I was like, she's like, oh, I'd be the first one out. I'm like, no, you just have to be cool. Just be cool and you won't be the first one out. That's like how Survivor works.
Yeah, I hope so. I wish it was that easy, but you know, we'll see. I do feel like though, in a season like this, I almost feel like I could bridge the gap between like, I could be the person that's like deals, talks to the old school people and the new school people. I think I'd be like positioned somewhat well where I like, cause I do know the people that are coming off the new seasons, but I know the people from the old seasons.
Here's how you work it. Remember in the deleted scenes from Survivor All-Stars where you did the tribal council?
Yeah.
You get them to do every night. You put on a Rob Has a Podcast and you interview somebody and you're entertaining them. Why they would keep you around for that reason. And then you get a hold of those tapes and play them after the season stuff.
Sure. Perfect.
Win-win.
I think at the point where I was doing that, where I was like pretending to do the podcast, that would make me be a bigger target. I'd have to just be doing it and not be telling people that's what I was doing. If I could just like have conversations with people like, wow, that wasn't really like you really let me talk and like tell myself, well, look, that's what I do. But I think if I was pretending to do a talk show, I think that would make me a big target.
It's that social game. You're going to have it on lock.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Putting me aside, then let's talk about some of the other names on this list. Who else do we want to see back? How about somebody that I think would be a big headline to have them come back? Somebody who had a very famous departure, an infamous departure from the game back a long time ago. Back in the same last season that I played. How about Lex Vandenberg?
Hit that bell.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Absolutely. I had Lex on my list. You know, one of my, like, a lot of people don't like All-Stars, but one of my favorite Survivor moments of all time is Boston Rob asking him to take care of Amber. Hey, like, that was
you
just...
You take care of her. I'll take care of you. If you can.
See, I'm worried I'm not going to get a Penner impersonation. I'm worried I'm not going to get a Russell Hance.
Yeah.
But we got to find ways to squeeze those in. But yeah, that's honestly one of my favorite moments from early Survivor was Rob asking Lex to save Amber. And, you know, he's got a great story. And, you know, he was in the Africa season, which was you know, one of the early huge seasons. And I'd love to have him back. So, yes, Lex, 100%.
I mean, can't you just imagine Lex like in the first episode talking about like, you know, the last time out. That was, you know, I thought that was my chance, but this is going to be my chance. The third time is the charm for me.
I think that's what everybody's going to say.
Yeah, but I feel like he'll be like really like pounding the table on it. Like, yeah. I didn't come out here to lose for a third time. I came out here to win. This is the third time is the charm for me.
Yeah, Lex is a slam dunk.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Okay. So now who else?
All right. So here is one of my all-time favorite players. When my rookie season, Survivor Gabon, when I was interviewing the cast, you know, it was interesting. Like, these people are going to play Survivor. This is amazing. That's so cool. But it didn't click to me that I was around like a reality TV persona until I met Randy Bailey.
Mm.
And holy crap, man, I fell in love like with this guy. Like he was just like. Like, you know, some people watch wrestling and they root for the good guys and some people root for the bad guys. And I kind of root for the bad guys. And Randy Bailey doesn't give a crap of what you think.
Yeah.
And he speaks his mind and I love it. And it's a crime how poorly Heroes versus Villain turned out for him. I'm so glad he's starting to start doing Twitter and the podcast and stuff like that. He like, you know, if you want, look at my Twitter, I follow 38 people. And the second, and that's for totally narcissistic reasons, because I want to be like a Kardashian who I follow 7 people, but infinity people follow me. The second Randy Bailey was like, I'm on Twitter. I would hit that follow button with extreme prejudice. So, yes, Randy Bailey, bring that man back.
All right, I love it. Let's bring Randy back. And I think that he's a great mirror if we want to have Jeff Varner is on one side. Randy is on the other. I feel like that's another like two people that I feel like are sort of like evenly matched in terms of like. These physical tribe configurations that we're putting together. So I've got Randy in my notes here on the tribe with Joe and Mike Scoop and Lex. Like, we still got to see where he's going to land. But right. I think that these are evenly matched tribes so far.
Right. So we're at eight guys now with Rob Cesternino on the side.
On the side.
Waiting to be tagged in.
Right.
So do you want to go through?
Well, hold on. With Randy, like, we want him. Does Survivor want him?
You know, Survivor wants someone who can tell a good story. And Randy was always, that was never Randy's problem. So you know, maybe if he promises, if he's voted out early, to mind his P's and Q's,
okay,
he'll be more likely to have him back.
Yes, to, you know, say I will be on my best behavior, and that's all the more reason we want him back.
Yes, but yes, love Randy Bailey. All
right, green light, Randy Bailey, you're going to Samoa. So now, where do we go from here? This is, I feel like this is where things are starting to get interesting. Boy, yes. It's tough.
It is tough. It's quite a burden, but you know, we fully accept it. We are men of action. We don't shirk responsibility.
Yeah.
So a couple names I had.
Well, let me give you one more that I feel I have that I think would be good. He went out last, again, much like Johnny Fairplay, 16 seasons ago, but he was such a sensation in his first time out, and then had an unceremonious departure in his second time. How about Yao Man?
I did have Yao Man on my list. Yao Man is one, you know, the dream situation with the truck is probably the most disgusted I've ever been by Survivor. That's probably another instance where you show somebody this and they're going to feel for this guy. You know, even if you didn't watch Survivor back then. I don't know what Yao Man chans up to these days.
He's just hanging out on Facebook.
All right. Well, I mean, hell, bring him along. So yeah, like Yao Man Chan, you're not going to get too much of a fight from me.
Okay. All right. So now we have eight official.
No, we have nine official. With Rob Cesternino. I'm going to make you use that veto.
Okay. Well, actually, no, I have Malcolm, Terry, Fairplay, Varner, Yao Man, Joe, Scoopin, Randy, and Lex. That's nine now.
Yes.
So we only need one other person. I feel like that we can get by without me. All right, let me give you the names.
The most dangerous man in podcasting, it writes itself.
All right, let me give you the names of who's left. And I feel like that we can definitely get somebody good from this list. Okay, now we have Spencer. I think a lot of people are saying, well, why not Spencer? I haven't included Spencer because I feel like that Spencer has been pretty adamant in all of his post-game interviews he doesn't want to play again.
Correct. Like, there's going to be some second chancers that they need a Survivor break. And, I think Steven and Spencer are definitely among them.
Steven also has said he doesn't want to play. Eric Reichenbach.
Eric, I like him. I like his art, but he didn't care Moen. Like, he just did not bring much to the table.
He didn't seem that he had a fire for it the second time around.
Yeah, exactly. It was like when Colby came back for Heroes versus Villains. You know, it just didn't feel like the passion for the show was there.
Okay, so giving you some more names. Really, for me, if we're trying to find a pair, somebody to match up with for this other tribe, we have Malcolm and Joe, which I feel like is a good pair. Then we have Terry and Mike Scoopin. Again, there's sort of like mirror images with each other. We have Fairplay and Yao Man, which again, put them on the opposite tribe. That's good. I feel like there's a little bit of a rivalry there from when Yao Man knocked his head into the boat.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like physically, I feel like they're somewhat similar in build. Then you have Jeff Varner and Randy Bailey. Again, this is another good match in terms of people physically. And then we have Lex and Blank.
You know who's always reminded me of Lex?
Who?
Rob Cesternino.
No. All right, let me give you some more people. Okay.
All right.
You have Keith Nail. You ready to do that again?
I don't know. We want to be careful of having too many second chancers.
Okay. How about this? This is going to, could be a controversial pick. We have Philip Shepherd.
Wow. I feel like when you cast Philip Shepherd, you're kind of setting the tone for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So is that the direction we want to go?
What would the tone be with Philip? I mean, you think Philip would come out and try to do Stealth R Us again? Like, do you think that too many people would be amenable to that?
I think that's our hashtag. Do you think, here's the thing is, I could imagine Philip coming back for this third time and then just being first out because, you know, Malcolm dealt with it.
Oh, yeah, you have Malcolm there.
Yeah.
I guess you could switch Lex to that tribe and then have Philip on the tribe with Joe, Scoopin', Yao Man, and Randy. Randy and Philip on the same tribe? You wouldn't sign on for this?
All right, let's. I'm putting him on the bench next to Rob Cesternino. All right, who else?
Well, I mean, wouldn't you kind of want to see what Philip comes up with for a third time? Like, if he does that all that same stuff again, like they would say to him, like, Philip, if you try to do this Stealth R Us stuff again, you'll be the first person out. You need to come up with something new.
So you're wondering what Philip's third act will be?
Yeah,
just like calm and reserved, totally chill, like huge underpants this time instead of.
Could he do it?
All right, like, let's look at some other names.
And if he doesn't, I feel like that's a satisfying outcome too. Early boot for Philip.
Well, I feel like, so when I got the cast list for Survivor Karamoan, I just remember being like, I think someone, it might have been Corinne, said that, like, this isn't like Survivor favorites or Survivor, like, these people are good at games. This is like Survivor, these people are gonna, like, stir up some feces. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think when you bring Philip into the game, you are definitely gonna set a tone.
All right, let me give you some more names. You have Big Tom. Right. I think that that's kind of a non-starter. I feel like it's tough to bring back Big Tom and Lex.
Right.
We have Wu. Not super interested in the third time for Wu.
Yeah.
Bobby John.
Yeah, I like Bobby John. He did. We did All-Star Power Rankings for Heroes versus Villains. And he and I chatted for quite a bit. I like Bobby John. I don't know if I liked him so much on the show, although he is somebody that if you show that footage from Guatemala with, like, you know, he seemed like he was on his last legs out there.
Yeah.
Like that might drum up some sympathy. Like, it was pretty extreme out there.
Yep. Bobby John could be interesting. I don't know how many people are clamoring for Bobby John return, but interesting name. Savage and his beanie. I feel like the beanie earned him a lot of goodwill.
I think if you have Deets, you can't have Savage.
Okay, too many second chances. Brandon Hance, kind of a non-starter there, right?
Yep.
What about Vetus? Now, Vetus, they didn't let him go to the reunion. Would they let him try to get it for a third chance?
Well, when I spoke to Jeff after the tribal council for second chances, I was like, who could have predicted this? And he was like, you know what? Vetus is someone who could come back a third time and win the whole thing. But this is before whatever happened to put him on the do not invite to the
whatever
finale
happened
list.
Happened. Right.
Whatever happened then happened. So I would imagine that production would not be interested in having him back.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that this would trump going to the finale, right?
Right.
Or whatever penalty that he's serving, does it happen in all the same season? So whatever he did he serve his punishment, his sentence, by not going to the finale? And then sort of like, okay, you know, you got busted doing steroids, okay? And then, like, A-Rod, now you're allowed to come back.
Right, but if he does something else really bad, then he's, like, banned for like several seasons. Right. Like Pete Rose.
We don't know. I think Vetus would be a good call if he was eligible, but if we're going to base it in reality, we have to base it on what we know. All right, and then we have Colton and we have Russell Swan. We said no to Colton.
Said no to Colton, and Russell Swan shouldn't. I don't think Russell Swan should play Survivor again.
It did not go great the second time.
Yeah, like Russell Swan, like I've spoken to him on a couple occasions. He's a nice enough guy, but after Philippines, it's one of the few. Every now, like, usually, you know, you've done 100 exit interviews and it's, you know, why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? Did you think about this? And then, you know, word association and then call it a day. With Russell Swan, it was so emotional. I don't know if we ever talked really about the game.
Yeah.
It was just like,
he was really down after the second time.
Yeah. And, like, you know, he seems to have a really good life and a good family. Like, you know, Survivor, let that chapter.
Okay.
You know, leave it where it is.
So it's a thanks, but no thanks for Russell Swan.
For Russell Swan's own good. Like, just, okay. You know.
And then we have Rudy that we said, but Rudy's probably, you know, too old at this point. So I guess the question will come down to, is it going to be Philip out there or do I have to go out there?
Listen, do I have to go? All right. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put it to a vote.
Yeah.
To the rap listeners, you got to vote. Do you want to see Rob Cesternino come back or Philip Shepherd?
Well, of course they want to see me come back, but they want to see me come back. And then, you know, either way, it's like, it'll be fun to watch Rob do good. Or it'll be fun to watch Rob lose spectacularly.
Either way, the show gains notoriety. It's good for Team Cesternino. I say we make it happen.
If I'm saying I don't want to play again, then why are we putting me in but not Spencer, not Steven? If they're saying, like, why is they don't want to do it? You know, why do I have to come back and bite the bullet?
I know. I like, because we just want to see how you do with peer pressure.
Let's just put Philip in there and then I'll be the alternate. If anybody like can't go and at the last minute, I'll go do it.
I like the idea that when the podcast is done, you're going to go back to Nicole and be like, bad news, honey. Gordon talked me into coming back.
Yeah, I have to go back. Yeah, no, Nicole would murder me at this point to go through Survivor.
For this, okay, for the sake of the Cesternino marriage.
For the sake of the marriage, right. You know, it's hard for me to even just go to like the Target right now for like, what are you going where?
The crime in all this is we could work it out so that you could actually become a part of, you know, Stealth or Us. You get your own nickname, like the Podcastinator or something cool.
Okay. It would be cool. All right. So let me give you this cast of men and you tell me what you think. All right. So we have one tribe that's Malcolm, Terry, Fairplay, Varner, and Shepherd. And then the other tribe is Joe, Scoopin, Yao Man, Randy, and Lex.
You know, division wise, that's pretty solid.
It really is. It really came together nicely.
And are Philip and Randy on the same tribe?
No, they are not right now. I mean, could we switch it where, let's see. Yeah, I could switch it where if you put Lex on the tribe with Malcolm, Terry, Fairplay, and Varner, you could do that. But I feel like Lex and Fairplay and Terry and Varner, I feel like they're going to get along really good. I feel like Malcolm's like the odd person out there.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I don't know if I want to put Malcolm at risk at the sake of missing out on Randy Philip hilarity.
Like, we don't need anything to make Randy saltier out there. I feel like let's give Randy a fighting chance in this season and not put him with Philip to start.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay. So this is good. We did it. We got through the men.
Like I said, the men, like, it's easier. Like, bop, 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 bop. And the women, there are some really tough choices in here.
All right. There are 29 women that have played this game twice and come up short. Two times. Here they are in no particular order. We have Brenda Lowe, Jenna Lewis, Abby Maria, Laura Moret, Kelly Wentworth, Monica Culpepper, Chaos Cass, Amy Cusack, Kathy Vavrick O'Brien, Kelly Wigglesworth, Eliza, Courtney Yates, Kat, Corinne, Monica Padilla, Sugar, Kimmy Kappenberg, Sheehan, Alicia Calloway, Sue Hawk, Shireen, PG, Francesca, Tasha, Dawn Meehan, Danielle DiLorenzo, Sierra Easton, and Andrea Belke. Those are the 29 women who have come up short twice.
All right.
All right. All right. So what do you want to do here? So who goes first?
I went first last time, so by all means.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and let me give you who I think is the biggest no-brainer on the board. Let's bring back Kelly Wentworth.
I did not have Kelly Wentworth, but it's for the shine reason. It's because Kelly's going to have her day in the future. However, looking at the listed names,
we need her.
Yeah, there's not a lot of like challenge, like strength on the female side. So I think Kelly Wentworth, I could be talked into.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Like I said, the only reason I was holding back was because I think her day will come no matter what.
You want to save her for another season. But I feel like we need to put her there. I think that she's going to be annoyed if she's not on the list. I think that a lot of her fans are going to be annoyed if she's not on the list. And I feel like that this is a big all-star season. This is not like the all-star, no collar, blue collar, white collar. This is a big deal.
All right. This is a big deal.
This is not a sort of what's one of the minor, like, you know, Hell in the Cell. This is a one of the big four, Gordon.
All right. So this is our SummerSlam, right?
Yeah,
now.
This is a SummerSlam. This is a main event type thing. Let's get Kelly out there.
Thank you for putting it in terms that I understand.
So let's go ahead and put Kelly Wentworth. Underdog Wentworth is back. Maybe not an underdog this time. Do you have her on the Malcolm tribe or the Joe tribe?
Do you need to keep her off? Or do her and Joe have bad blood off this season?
I think a little bit.
It's all a blur to me.
I think a little bit. Let's put her on the tribe. Let's put her on the Malcolm tribe with Malcolm, Terry, Fairplay, Varner, and Philip Shepherd. Just to start. And then we can move people around. So easy one off the board.
Okay.
One down, nine to go.
One down, nine to go. Okay. So I'm trying to think of what the best order to do this. So I'm just going to go with my number one draft pick for life for the female side. If you get a chance to bring Corinne Kaplan onto your TV sets, into your lives, into your podcasts, you got to do it. Corinne Kaplan just cracks me up. Like, and having her and Bailey back together seems like a recipe for gold. So, especially considering who I want to bring on later. So Corinne Kaplan, my number one draft pick for the women.
You're getting the band back together. Now you also have the possibility here, the rich possibility of a Corinne and Philip reunion as well.
Yeah, that's also true. Also true.
Now, is it more unfair to have Corinne on the tribe with Randy or Corinne on the tribe with Philip?
Well, Corinne and Malcolm are like BFFs too. So there is a little like that. That's one that's going to be iffy.
So let's give Randy a fighting chance in this season. Let's put him back on the tribe with Corinne because she can sort of wrangle him and keep him grounded and centered, and then he won't be flying off the hook. If we want to keep Randy around, let's give him a fighting chance here and put Corinne on his tribe.
Is Randy on the same tribe as Malcolm?
No. Randy is on the tribe with Joe, Scoopin, Yao Man, Randy, and Lex. And then you'd have Corinne as the first woman on that tribe.
All right, let me write this down.
I wasn't expecting to do the tribes here tonight, but I feel like...
I wasn't either, but it's turning out so well.
Yes. So this is good. Back to women.
So no fight, no disagreement at all.
No, I won't fight you on this. Like, hey, look, I've got Corinne coming to my house here in the next 2 weeks. I'm not going to shoot her down on coming back and then get shoot out when she gets here.
All right. Smart move.
So let's go back to this list. How about somebody from this season? Again, we're up to 4 second chancers right now. So really, we haven't hit that too hard on the second chancers. I want to go back to one. Somebody who I think is always going to bring some excitement to a season. How do you feel about the return of Shireen?
Shireen is somebody who I feel will really learn.
Yes.
Like she should come back a third time. I wonder if she is in that same boat as Spencer and Steven where, cause she did back to back. You know, well, I guess technically not back to back because of the filming schedule, but you know, she went right from Worlds Apart reunion, you know, onto the bus drove all the way to Cambodia. I adore Shireen. I wonder if it's too soon for Shireen.
Is it too soon for Shireen? Cause I feel like that while both Steven and Spencer said, no, I do not want to play again. I don't feel like Shireen said that she doesn't want to play again.
Okay. I think she does want to play again. I would imagine she would want a break, but again, that's I'm basing that off of
right. You know, it's not going to be an
interview we did months ago.
Season 33. I mean, let's just assume this is going to be a year from now. This season,
right? Okay, I think there's so much talent on the female side that for now I want Shireen on the bench, and then we can discuss.
Okay, so I will put her. I will move her down with me on the. We are alternates and waiting for the phone call. We're waiting for somebody to get like medically uncleared.
I feel like I could be talked into Shireen, but let's see where it goes.
Okay.
Okay. So my next pick, and this is, you know, this I loved having Kelly Wigglesworth back. You know, there's something about that Borneo season that is magic. I don't know what Sue Hawk is up to these days, but I gotta imagine she's still pretty entertaining. So, you know, if the past, I guess it's been what, maybe 12, 11 years since we've seen her.
Yeah.
If she's up for it and she's good to go, like let's bring back Sue Hawk.
Sue Hawk. Oh yeah. Sure thing, Gordon. I'll be right there. I love Sue Hawk. I had so much fun playing with Sue Hawk in the All-Stars. It was just really a treat to sort of, I don't know if she liked me as much as I liked her. I mean, evidently not, but it really was fun just to watch her on a daily basis because she is just a very unique person. I have no idea whether or not she would come back, but let's put the offer out there. Let's put the ask out to Sue Hawk and let's bring her in. Now, Sue Hawk, we don't have anybody else that Sue Hawk is going to really know, I don't think. I guess she knows Lex from the first All-Stars. So I think you could put Sue Hawk on either tribe right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Sue Hawk with Randy, Sue Hawk with Philip Shepard. I mean, there's gold everywhere.
Yeah, I have a feeling the early days of this show are just going to be all fireworks.
Yeah, this is good. Okay, so Sue Hawk, third time's a charm. Wow, very exciting stuff. And where should we go next? I feel like you probably can't bring back Laura and Sierra. I think that's maybe too much, unless you're hoping for Sierra votes out her mom again.
Or Laura votes out Sierra.
Yeah, or Laura votes out Sierra. Do we want to bring back them in tandem? Is that too much? I feel like that's unfair.
I agree. Having family members come back with in the hopes of, yeah, it's I think, you know, Sierra like has really been a gamer, so love to have her back. But as far as on the same season with her mother, it seems unfair in a non blood versus water season.
So have we hit the second chancer note too hard to bring back Sierra?
Looking at my list, I only have I have a couple second chance options that I like more than Sierra.
OK, so you want to put Sierra on hold?
I'd bench Sierra next to Shireen.
OK, well, here's one that is a must. We have to have this person that they are a fiery personality. What a strategist. And also perhaps the greatest juror of all time. We need Eliza.
I have right here on my list, like just the eye rolls alone are worth getting her on board. That's almost surprising. It hasn't happened sooner.
Like she's total oversight. Cannot do this season without Eliza.
It's exciting to have Eliza as part of this. Third time's a charm. Can't wait for her to clean up and it's weird because you want her to do well, but at the same time you also want her on that jury.
Yeah.
So it's conflicting.
We definitely want her on this cast. Third time's the charm. Eliza, welcome to Samoa.
I would even say, Eliza, we want Morelands.
We want Morelands. Great. Okay, so now we have Kelly Wentworth, we have Corinne, we have Eliza. Who else?
Okay, so when I interviewed Corinne before Survivor Karamoan, if I'm remembering this correctly, we were talking about, I don't remember what, but I think One World had just ended, and she talked about how much Kat Ederson drove her insane. Like that she would probably murder her dead if they were on the same tribe together. So I kind of got a hope that Kat Ederson, getting that third time, that second chance.
Okay. Kat Ederson, has she played with anybody here on this list? I don't think that we have any of the blood versus water people here. So I like that. I like the diversity in where we're bringing people back from.
Yes. And there's no other One Worldians. So yeah, we're in good shape.
All right. So where do you want to put Kitten Swag? Do you want to put her on the
tribe? Corinne's tribe.
Corinne's tribe. Okay. All right. So she's now with she's there with Corinne. Where's Eliza? Is Eliza there too?
Do you have Eliza with Kelly on Malcolm's tribe? Or because like I feel like physicality, it seems like they're all four of them seem pretty.
Yeah, it's all comparable.
Out. Yeah.
And Sue Hawk is still there too.
Right. And Sue Hawk.
All right. So we can mix and match there. So Kat Ederson is there in the mix. Okay. I thought you were leading me into Sugar when you said somebody that you were going to cast later.
No. And who knows? She might be in the Vetus camp of somebody they might not want to bring back.
She might be. All right. Another oversight that we've had so far to not bring this person back. One of my favorite survivors of all time. I was so impressed with them on the rewatch of their original season when we did the evolution of strategy. And one of my favorite people to talk to about the game, Kathy Vavrick O'Brien. I feel like we need her. Only caveat here is that we have Lex as well.
Ring that bell, Robert.
Okay.
Ring it loud, ring it proud.
All right.
She was, when I first scanned the list, that was one of my immediate love to have her back.
So KVO, we're bringing her back. I feel like she's got to start not on the same tribe as Lex.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, so that would put her on this Malcolm tribe with Kelly Wentworth and Sue Hawk right now. So okay. That gives us six women right now of Kelly, Kathy, and Sue, and Corinne, Kat, and Eliza.
So I feel like physically, it seems like the female side is leaning towards the Corinne, Kat, Eliza side.
Yeah.
So we might have to think about that as we head forward.
Yeah. You know, to be honest, though, I'm not sure how married I am to the Kat thing. I feel like she would get on Corinne's nerves, but is that enough of a reason to bring her back? I mean, she wasn't great her second time out. She brought a lot to the table the first time. But other than the, you know, I didn't make the merge, so I'm not dateable. There wasn't a ton of gold there in the second time out.
All right. Well, when we get towards the end of this, she's on the list now, but we can negotiate. We still have Shireen and Sierra on the bench. And
we both have a veto in our holster.
And we have a veto. Yes, we have a veto in our holster as well.
Looming large. We're like Jeremy and Kelly Wentworth coming down to the final six. We both have sitting on the hidden immunity idol. We could play it at the same time.
I know. We got to use it. I don't want to get voted out with a veto in my pocket.
All right. So four more women to add.
Okay. So I got one. So with the side that seems to have the more female physicality, this might even this out. This young lady first played in Survivor China and was hilarious. Survivor Heroes versus Villains, equally hilarious. I'm talking about Courtney Yates.
Courtney Yates. Okay, that's fun. That's fun to bring Courtney Yates back. Let's put her on the opposite tribe as Eliza because of the Wine and Cheese Alliance. And so we have Courtney Yates out there now. Does Courtney Yates want to play Survivor again?
I don't know. It's been a while.
I don't know. I don't know if she likes anything.
Yeah, but I mean, she likes enough to do it twice.
I guess so. Does she like it? I have no idea. She seems not that interested in doing it when she's there, even.
That's the beauty. That's the beauty. Like you, like if you, I figure if you sit her and Randy and Corinne together and just leave a camera on them, you were going to get just gold.
All right. But right now she's not on the tribe with them. And she did not get along great with Randy in Heroes versus Villains, to be fair.
That is okay. That is true.
She did not think Randy was as amusing as we thought he was.
He's so amusing. I love that guy.
Okay. So now we have Courtney Yates out there. We need to keep adding to this. How about somebody who, going back to the fans versus favorites, well, I thought was really spectacular their first time out. I think that did some interesting things on their second time out, but was not able to go too deep into that game. How about Amy Cusack?
Amy Cusack was one that I went back and forth about. Like she you know, she's very sharp. Like she was able to rally people around her. But like I said, this women's bracket is so strong. It's I ended deep. Up leaving her off. It's okay. Very deep. It's very impressive. Like the names here. So right. why don't we leave her on this?
I will not pound the table for Amy Cusack.
Okay, is she benchable or is she?
I'm putting her with Shireen in the alternates right now.
Okay, all right. Well, then we can have that discussion down the line. Here's one that, and you know, now that we have Philip and maybe this isn't as necessary. I just had in my notes feces stirrers, and I had two names written down: Abby Maria and Chaos Cass.
Hmm.
You know that they're two more second chancers. But there's something about, like, I was trying to explain this to somebody with Abby Maria, and they're like, why? Because you think, hey, I'm a person. I can get along with people. I would just get along with her, and then I don't see what the problem is. But the way I tried to compare her was we tried to play, me and my buddies tried to, we always play Uno because we're adults. And we, one night, my one friend's like, let's try Texas Hold'em because it was really popular back then. I'm like, all right, let's try it. And every hand, my one friend would go all in. Because either he didn't understand the rules or he wasn't invested or whatever. And it drove all of us insane because you don't want to go against him in case, you know, he really does have it. And then every now and then we're like, fine, I'm going up against you. And then that would be the one time he would have good cards and then you would be out. It was infuriating. Like it just you just wanted to play this game. But one person would just you could not like they were just breaking how the game works. And that's how I feel about Abby Maria. Fun to watch. Maybe not as much fun the third time around. And again, Cass is, as always, you know, is capable of wonderful, destructive things. So do we need that now that we have like our Phillips in here? Like, do we need a feces stir?
I don't see any scenario where Abby Maria isn't the first person voted out now after this past season, especially no matter where you put her on the tribe with Malcolm. I think that Malcolm is going to really galvanize everybody. Got to get rid of Abby Maria. I actually think that Abby Maria and Philip are friends. I always see them in pictures together. That doesn't mean anything with Abby Maria. She could, you know, they could be dead to her in a moment. On the other side, I think you have Corinne and Abby Maria. That's also going to be particularly toxic, I feel like. And not necessarily fun toxic. I feel like that the book is out on Abby Maria. I just don't see what the upside is here with Abby Maria our third time.
Okay. And what about Cass?
I think that Cass I'd be more palatable to. I think that Cass would be fun to see again. And again, there's so much chaos here. Could Cass be under the radar?
Like, again, Cass is somebody who can turn it off or on. Like, Cass is very calculated with when she does what she does. So, you know, if she doesn't need it, she can, you know, play on the radar and go quite a while. But like you said, there, it does feel like there's a lot of combustible elements already. You know, is Cass somebody you hold on for a latter date, a later date, excuse me.
And also with Cass, I believe she said that she doesn't want to play a third time, but I don't know. I would be open to it. I'd be open to the third time for Cass.
Rob Cesternino said he didn't want to play a third time, and I almost had him ready to go.
Yeah, I think that Cass is closer to playing a third time than I am.
All right, so are we moving on from these two?
I feel like I have Cass in the maybe pile with Amy and Shireen.
Okay.
Let's go back to the list here. Still a lot of interesting people to have them come back and play again. Jenna Lewis was here back in September, and she said that she would love to play a third time.
What do you think Jenna Lewis's game would be in 2016?
See, I kind of feel like that Jenna Lewis, we have Corinne already, and I feel like that they're sort of like occupying the same casting slot. Mm-hmm. I do think that she would be fun to have back, and I think people do get a rise out of like, ooh, old school people are here. So I don't know if we have a compelling case for Jenna Lewis third time's a charm, but I think that she would be up for it.
You could have that moment where if she makes it to the family visit, her daughters weren't able to send a video to Borneo, and then they come out to wherever we're filming, and it's a wonderful moment that she didn't get to have, you know, 16 years ago.
Yeah, so her kids are now old enough to, because I think her daughters are like, you know, 18, 19 years old.
Yeah.
So they could actually be there for the family visit. Again, I don't know if that's compelling enough to get her on third time's a charm.
Yeah, I think there's too much here for Jenna to make it.
Okay. Who else you got?
Here's one that, you know how I liked having Varner back because he was only out there for four episodes. This person was not there very long. And this is more for selfish reasons because we didn't really get to see what made this person's run and second chance so amazing. I'm talking about PG.
PG.
And for the people who didn't keep up on this, she had fishing lures tied into her jewelry. Her earrings were fishing, like she had flint on a bracelet. She was like James Bond out there, which is hilarious. Like that is next level gameplay that they would probably never show us. Like obviously we didn't see when it happened out there. But man, you gotta admire that kind of, intestinal fortitude, that kind of like thinking outside of the box. So she's somebody who I could easily be talked into bringing back for that third time.
Okay. I feel like physicality, I feel like she's sort of a match with Courtney.
Right, yeah. I mean, I haven't seen Courtney since, I guess, probably the reunion party before Heroes versus Villains. So, yeah.
But they have that shared Survivor China backstory, so you could put them on opposite tribes. Okay. I'm in on PG.
All right.
Okay.
We got two spots left.
Two spots left. Now, by my count, this is officially now five second chancers in the mix. We have Tasha. Could bring her back, too.
You know, Tasha didn't do much for me when she was out there, to be honest.
But people have said, I spoke with Jeremy, felt like that Tasha was underrated in the story of the season.
Was she doing anything interesting enough to, you know, to make the cut? Like, she had that run when they split into three tribes. It was impressive.
At Angkor,
yes. But other than that, like, just, you know, not like, I'm even, like I said, I'm doing a rewatch of Cagayan and just, you know, she does well. But like I said, I think the people on the bench I would have before Tasha.
All right. Well, I'm going to put her there with them.
One I had going back to, you know, there aren't like those, you know, like killer challenge threats on the guy side, like there usually can be. On the female side, kind of the same deal. And this is a person I haven't seen since All-Star, so I don't know what kind of shape she's in, but Alicia Calloway.
Alicia.
Yeah, like she, and like I said, like the old school players brought it in second chance. And Alicia's somebody I'd be interested in getting that third chance.
All right, let me mention a couple of potential problems here with Alicia, because we have on one side of things, we have one former member of the Kucha tribe in Jeff Varner. On the other side of things, we have one former member of the Kucha tribe in Mike Scoopin. Are we hitting the Kucha tribe note too hard with three people back from Kucha?
Yeah. Can we get Kentucky Joe his third chance?
No, he hasn't had his second chance.
Oh, damn it. Can he fit one in between now and then?
Right. That being said, I like the idea of Alicia. I feel like that from a diversity perspective, we are very much the 2016 Oscars. So I do like the idea of, you know, mixing this cast up a little bit more.
So if it enough to bump Scoopin, or
boy,
are you okay, or can we talk ourselves into three Australians?
I think that if it's Alicia and Scoopin together, I feel like that seems less as people working together as Varner and Alicia together.
Right. And Scoopin went out at six, right?
Right.
Is that actually,
but I feel 18? Like that she was annoyed with him pretty good. Like, I think that it was not necessarily that, you know, Alicia and Scoopin were working together. I feel like that she was annoyed with him, like, talking about all sorts of things about being the leader.
Is the only thing keeping Alicia off this list the fact that she's from Australia?
I guess right now. Yeah, sure.
Okay, so
let's put her in. Let's slide her in.
Let's not bench her. Let's put her in, and if we talk ourselves out of it later.
Okay, that gives us nine names right now of people that we're talking about. Let me give you the rest of the list. Okay,
all right.
We have Brenda. We have Laura Moret, even though we sort of like said we'd rather have Sierra probably than Laura Moret, and we can only have one. We have Monica Culpepper. Let's do it for Monica. What's best for Monica? We have Kelly Wigglesworth. We have another Monica in Monica Padilla.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Sugar. We've got Kimmy Kappenberg. We have Sheehan.
Huh.
We have Francesca. We have Dawn Meehan. We have Double D, Danielle DiLorenzo, and Andrea Belke. A lot of interesting names.
A lot of interesting names. Like the women's side of this is like I said, it's so much harder to pick than the men. Just going to start rattling some stuff off, like, you know, Monica Padilla didn't show us that much in Second Chances. Monica Culpepper, I wasn't the biggest fan of her work in Blood Versus Water.
Yeah.
And then there's the Culpepper compound with all the make believe strategy. So those are two I'm right now. I actually had Andrea Belke and Brenda Lowe not on the list to go, but like as people that I'd like to see play again, and that, you know, I thought they were both strong players. That's a lot of Karamoans there.
Yeah, it would be right now in terms of Karamoan people. We have Philip, we have Corinne, we have Malcolm, and I think that's it for Karamoan. So she would be four, either Brenda or Andrea.
Right. So, and you know, because it was an all-star season, you're looking at 4/10 of a tribe. You know, they all experienced the Brandon Hanson meltdown. So
yes,
maybe they bonded over it
together.
Right. they bonded over that. So,
yeah.
So yeah, like again, like I think the names on our bench are more interesting to me than Andrea and Brenda. Although I will say I would like to see both of them play again.
Okay. I don't know if Brenda wants, maybe she does want to play again. Maybe I feel like that she is sort of over Survivor after how everything went down with the whole Dawn thing from Survivor Karamoan, but who knows?
Yeah. She's a new mom.
Yeah.
So maybe she's ready to get back out there. I don't know. Dawn Meehan's another name on that list from Karamoan.
I feel like Dawn's done.
Dawn, poor Dawn. She's I adore Dawn. I wish that on anybody.
That being said, though, that we have Kathy on the one tribe. We also have Sue. We might have to split them up because we are trying to split people up by, you know, age or sort of like who's sort of like a mirror of each other.
Right. And we don't want Kathy on Lex's tribe.
Right.
And
so we can put Sue Hawk on Lex's tribe. I think that's probably OK.
So we still got the one spot. Anybody's, you know,
I think we should look at our bench again.
All right. So I have Shireen, Amy Cusack, and Cass.
I also have Tasha and Jenna Lewis on the bench.
Tasha and Jenna. Okay. So Amy Cusack on the same tribe with Eliza Orlins, those two together,
mm-hmm.
You know, they were on the same seasons together.
Right.
But, you know, we have other instances of that.
There's nobody else from the waiver wire that you want to potentially upgrade to the bench, like a Double D or anything like that?
Oh, I adore Double D.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, if we're We will cast based on
the captain of sports.
There you go. Was she active in the community? Would she be interested in coming back? I'm not sure
what she's up to. I'm not sure if she would be amenable to it or a kasiable to do it. Kasireable.
You know, she went a long way in Heroes versus Villains. She went a long way.
Mm-hmm. My gut says I think she's over it.
Yeah, I think there's a, like, here's the thing. If we came to a decision on any name on the bench, I would not veto them.
Okay.
Because I feel like they're all like Tasha, I'm not okay. that thrilled about, but it wouldn't be heartbreaking to me for.
Well, let's look at it this way. Let's figure out who is a match for them. And then from just a casting perspective and just let the tribes dictate who, because okay. we have an embarrassment of riches at this point. Now we have to try to make these tribes work. So right now I have Kelly Wentworth's mirror as Corinne. I feel like that they would be comparable in the challenges.
Okay.
Okay. We have Kathy and Sue as sort of another pair. That's a one for one.
Okay.
I also have Courtney and PG as a one for one.
Okay.
All right. So if we're going to cast Alicia, we need somebody who can match her in the challenges.
Wow. That's,
I feel like Amy is the person that might be able to best fit that bill. Of the people that we're talking about, unless you said Tasha was somebody who could match up with Alicia, I could see that also.
Yeah, it's Amy or Tasha, and like I was saying, between the two, I would lean Amy.
All right, so Amy was a very strong swimmer. Alicia, I do not believe that was her strong suit, but you have two people that are good in the challenges. Then we have Kat and Eliza. Right now, I have them on the same side.
Okay,
so we could move one to the other side, or we could take a look at who's on the bench right now. All right. So if Kelly Wentworth and Corinne are matched up, Kathy and Sue are matched up, then we have Amy and Alicia matched up, and we have Courtney and Sierra matched up. We have to figure out some way to reconcile Kat and PG and Eliza. I almost feel like that we have Eliza, we can't put Eliza on the same tribe as Courtney because that's unfair.
Right.
So we have to move things around, and we can't put PG on the same tribe as Courtney. So what if we moved Kat to the tribe that's the Malcolm tribe? Is Kat enough of a physical matchup with PG? Do you feel like that's similar enough?
I think so.
It's similar enough. I don't see any problems with Kat being on the tribe with Kelly, Kathy, Courtney, Amy. She's not on the tribe with Corinne anymore, though.
Right.
Is that a deal breaker for you?
If they both make it to the merge?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's interactions through challenges and things along those lines. And so, like, you know, I like the idea of Kat. I love the idea of Courtney. So if this is how it's got to work out, then I'll just pray. Yeah.
Kat and Courtney, I think you're getting almost that Corinne and Kat stuff.
Yeah.
All right. And then there's some sort of like a storyline of could Kat become dateable again if she makes it to the merge. So I think that's an interesting storyline.
And the second Jeff's like, drop your buffs. She like jumps on match.com. And
yeah. Yeah.
Is that what the kids use these days?
I don't think so.
Tinder's a thing, right?
Yeah. I think that's probably more for the kids. I think so.
Okay,
yeah, you've been out of the game too long now.
It's been a while. It has been a while.
Yeah. And then we have on the women's tribe over here, we have, you know, the women are Corinne, Sue, and we have Sierra, we have Alicia, and we have PG. That all sounds good. I don't see any reason why those people can't be on a tribe together.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem here, the collateral damage for making this all work, is that we have 11 people.
Yeah.
And there's one person more than we have chairs right now.
So the music stops, and who's left standing?
So right now we have Kelly and Corinne. We have Kathy and Sue. We have Courtney and Sierra. We have Amy and Alicia, and we have Kat and PG. But right now we don't have a match for Eliza.
Oh.
So it seems like we have 21 people for our 20 person season.
You know, there's an easy way to fix this. We go 22 people and we add Rob Sesternino to the dudes.
Yeah, but that would mean to have a 22 person season is kind of unrealistic. I mean, how many episodes are in this season? 17?
That's true. That's true. Come on, Rob.
Okay.
All right. So
let's just see what this looks like if we put Eliza on the bench. So we have 20 people then.
Right.
And that would make sense. So we'd have one tribe, which would be Malcolm, Terry, Johnny Fairplay, Jeff Varner, Philip, Kelly Wentworth, Kathy Vavrick O'Brien, Courtney, Amy Cusack, Kat. That's fun. I don't see any reason why any of those people couldn't be, you know, you have a couple of people that have certainly played together. We got it's a little Takeo-y with Terry and Varner and Kelly Wentworth.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a good mix of like classic and contemporary Survivor. I'm feeling it.
Okay. Then on the other side of things, we have Joe, Mike Scoopin, Yao Man, Randy, Lex, Corinne, Sue Hawk, Sierra, Alicia Calloway, and PG.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see anything that this is super unfair. We have, you know, Joe, Sierra, and PG are the second chancers over there. I don't see any reason why it's not like that those three people have some sort of unbreakable bond or anything like that, or that like Joe and Sierra would team up against PG for any reason.
Yeah, and if second chance taught us anything, it's that those pregame alliances really don't seem to come together.
Is there anything you would change about this cast, Gordon?
You know, I'm really happy with the amount of classic players. And like I said, the classic players, with the exception of Kelly Wigglesworth, really stepped up in second chance. So it's almost, you know, they've had the time to think about it and want it more. So, yeah, I'm really happy. Like, even like, you know, like who knows what to expect from Alicia or Sue Hawk or some of these names. So, yeah, I'm really happy.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. I think we have did a really good job here with this cast. We have it really spread out over the seasons. You know, we've got some old school. We've got new school. We only have 6 second chancers.
Mm-hmm.
So not bad for the third chancers cast. And I think they got a lot of storylines here.
Yeah. And in our defense, like, you know, 20 of the people on this 50 person list are second chancers.
This is a good job, Gordon.
Well, I guess 19 because Jeremy, but yeah, I think we do good work here.
Yeah.
I don't think the people on the comment board will have a single problem with any of these picks.
Oh, there'll be a few. There'll be a few.
When they do their Philip versus Rob vote, we'll see how that turns out. I'm sure it'll be close.
Yeah. All right. Well, great job again. Third chime's the charm coming soon to Survivor. It's going to be a great season with all these players and this cast. And I can't wait till next January to do this all again, Gordon.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Good times.
Good times. All right. Gordon, tell me, who is doing the power rankings this season? Have you made a call on this?
Well, the reason I didn't want to send Shireen out to do second chances is because she is going to be my power ranking opponent. If you're ever going to be on Survivor, if you see me during the pregame interviews, if you want to do the power rankings, just ask, because I love that.
Yeah, claim it.
Just claim it. That's what Max Dawson did. That's what Shireen does. That's what Malcolm did. I appreciate it. So very excited to have Shireen on board. She, you know, knows her stuff. So I'm very excited.
Who ended up winning this past season between you and Max Dawson and Jen Brown?
I think Jen Brown won.
What?
I know. And I made the mistake of when we did our post-game interview after Worlds Apart, she had been at a bar the night before and had tried to steal like a taxidermy squirrel or something along those lines. And I joked, winner of the power rankings gets a taxidermy squirrel. So she goes on and wins the thing. You go on eBay. Those things are not cheap. They're like 200. They're like 200 bucks a pop. So if anybody has a stuffed squirrel they want to send my way or Jen's way,
a dirt squirrel,
preferably from Benry.
The deep cut reference, Gordon.
You never know where we're going to end up 2 hours into a podcast.
Yeah. All right. Well, Gordon, excellent job once again.
Thank you, sir.
Can't wait for all of the power rankings to start. Do you have any more preseason coverage coming?
Nope. I wasn't out there for this season. So, you know, I'll do like my preseason rankings, which will be horribly off. I've been doing them since Gabon and never picked the winner once. Although I did pick Jeremy to win San Juan del Sur.
That counts.
So that kind of counts since he won second chance.
All right. Of course, you could follow Gordon Holmes all season long on Twitter. He is at Gordon Holmes. I just realized in your Twitter picture that you are dressed as Rowdy Roddy Piper.
That's true. I went as him as Halloween.
Late, great Rowdy Piper.
I went as him for Halloween a few years ago, and when he passed away over the summer, I made the change. I never went as Dusty Rhodes for Halloween, so I wasn't able to make that switch. But
yeah.
We're always thinking of the hot Scott.
That would be tricky to do. All right. Well, Gordon, thank you so much. And what an excellent job you did here. And you do such a great job with the word association, ready to go. Do you have any advice to the people that are on Survivor Season 32 on how to approach the word association this season?
You know, don't be like the Dirty 30.
Yeah. Good rules to live by, right?
it defeats the purpose when you come in with you know, clever little sayings or inside jokes. Just let it go. Be natural. Word associate. You know, it's your chance to let your true feelings come out. So that would be my best advice.
But has anybody done the Star Wars characters yet?
I don't think so. We've had Game of Thrones and Harry Potter. I think Coach did something like... something like Arthurian legend characters. So, but yeah, I don't think there's
always a crowd Star pleaser.
Wars yet. Yeah, I don't think there's many Star Wars just yet.
All right. It's just something to put out there for somebody this season. All right. Gordon, thank you again so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Rob.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Gordon Holmes and the cast of Survivor, Third Time's a Charm. Very good cast. Very happy with that. I realize that neither of us used our veto along the way, so we have that in our pocket. So if there is too much backlash from you guys in the comment section, we might have to whip out those vetoes. And luckily, I'll still get to do that because I didn't have to go play Survivor in this cast. So that was a relief. So here's what's coming up. We're about ready to turn that calendar month of February, which means Survivor is just around the corner, and we've got a lot of shows coming up to get ready for that. Hopefully, early next week, Nicole and I will have our 12th cast preview that we've done here on RHAP. This time we won't be doing it live, unfortunately, with the baby situation here right now. There's just no feasible time where we could just be live for 2.5-3 hours straight and not be interrupted by a baby at some point. So we are going to be recording that hopefully over the weekend, and hopefully early next week we will have that up for you guys. And also next week I am hoping that we are going to have our end of the season, postseason interview with the young lad, Spencer Bledsoe. That should be coming up next week as well, plus some other fun things that we are working on, including Survivor Family Feud later on this month. That's just going to be a big show that we are working on for you. And then Corinne is going to be here around the corner. We'll have previews of The Amazing Race as well coming up here in February. Angie Kontz is going to come by to talk about her casting types for the new season. So a lot to do as we get to February. And I do feel like this offseason is flying by. Hope you guys do too. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Rob has a website.com/iTunes. We will talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.